Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about food and the looming hunger crisis. We've just heard from the United Nations, who are stating that we've got an unprecedented situation right now. It has never been worse than this in the history of the world in terms of a potential hunger crisis. So I want to go through exactly what the UN have said. We'll also have a look at a World Bank report, which is looking at the current status of all of the prices of food around the world. And they've done a two-year forecast, which goes out through 23 and 24. And the outlook really isn't good. If you follow the channel, you'll be aware that there's been a massive increase in food prices as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I don't think anybody really appreciated how important Ukraine was to the global food chain. They produce a lot of things that are really important. So in this video, we'll have a look at what the current global supply situation is. We'll look at wheat and corn and also fertilizer, because fertilizer is really critical for a lot of countries around the world. It's used to improve yields and get better outcomes from your crops. And the problem with fertilizer is that the most commonly used form is nitrogen-based, and that is a derivative of gas. And of course, the price of gas has gone up dramatically since the start of the war because Russia is one of the biggest exporters of gas globally. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 18 months. The UN are actually forecasting that 2023 could be worse than 2022. And of course, the war in Ukraine isn't over yet. We haven't come to the end of the conflict. And President Putin has recently been in the press indicating that it looks like it's got quite a long way to run yet. So we don't know exactly how bad the implications are going to be for the global food market. But we'll have a look in this video and hopefully get to the bottom of some of the information. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. The United Nations have warned of a looming hunger catastrophe due to Russia's blockade of Ukrainian grain. Director of the UN World Food Programme, Patrick Beasley, has said that the current food affordability crisis is likely to turn into an even more dangerous food availability crisis next year unless solutions are found. The number of people classified as acutely food insecure by the United Nations before the COVID crisis was 113 million. After the COVID crisis, the number rose to 276 million. And as a direct result of the war in Ukraine, the figure has now increased to 345 million. It's estimated that around 50 million people in 45 countries are now one step away from famine. The UN have highlighted the lack of fertilizer and the escalating price as an increasing concern. In 2021, Russia supplied 23% of African fertilizer imports, which was double the amount of 2020. In view of the large increase of the price of Russian gas, this has had a direct negative impact on the price of fertilizer and left Africa dangerously exposed. The soaring price of fertilizer limits the ability of countries to boost their own agricultural productivity at exactly the same time as we're seeing a reduction in global grain exports and an increase in the price. The head of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, has stated that the world now faces an unprecedented global hunger crisis. He said the war in Ukraine has compounded problems that have been brewing for years: climate disruption, the COVID-19 pandemic, the deeply unequal recovery. There is a real risk that multiple famines will be declared in 2022, and 2023 could be even worse. He said there could be no effective solution to the crisis unless Ukraine and Russia find a way to resume trade properly. So we're seeing real concern from the United Nations, and they've highlighted the Ukraine war as being a catalyst for throwing the world into the worst position we've ever been in. So as I said at the start of the video, I don't think at the beginning of 2022, many people around the world would have identified Ukraine as being critical to the global food supply chain. So in order to get a better understanding as to exactly what's going on, let's have a look at what's going on with regards to wheat, corn, and fertilizer. The three main raw ingredients in terms of food that are consumed by the most people around the world are wheat, corn, and rice. Over 51% of the world's population eat those food substances every single day. And the global supply of wheat and corn is being directly impacted by the war in Ukraine, because Ukraine is a big exporter of both of those items, and Russia is also a major player with regards to wheat. This chart shows the top 10 wheat exporters for 2021. And you can see that Russia is by far the largest player. They supplied around 20% of all of the wheat that was purchased in by other countries. Ukraine, on the far right-hand side of this chart, provided around 8%. So between these two countries, we've got over 25% of the global supply. Now, clearly this war has had a massive impact on Ukraine's ability to be able to export. They have lost control of the majority of their ports, and the Black Sea is really a no-go export area right now. So any of the exports that required transport by sea, which is a big percentage of Ukraine's exports, can no longer be shipped. In addition to those logistical problems, we've also got issues because of the war itself. This map shows the production of wheat across Ukraine, and the darker green areas are the areas that are producing the most volume. So you can see that the majority of these dark green areas are over in the east of the country, which is the area that Russia have focused in terms of their invasion and where a lot of fighting has taken place. So that means that obviously the farmers in these areas are no longer tending to their crops. So that means that we will have a massive loss of wheat from the global supply chain, even if this war stopped tomorrow. In addition to the problems that Ukraine are experiencing, there are also problems with regards to Russia's export of wheat. Russia has introduced a temporary ban on all unfriendly nations in Europe. So that means that anybody who was previously buying from Russia can no longer access those supplies. But in addition to that, they've also been impacted by the sanctions in terms of global logistics. They can't get access to ships to be able to move this wheat. And added to that, they've also got problems with regards to using the Black Sea right now because of what's going on with regards to the war. So the war will obviously have a big impact on the global supply of wheat. And wheat is really important because it's used to make flour. And flour is the raw ingredient that's used to make bread and pasta and noodles. And that's why it's one of the most widely consumed food substances in the world. A lot of countries rely on those staples for survival. I've mentioned in previous videos that Turkey and Egypt have a really high level of consumption in terms of bread. That's what a lot of people are eating for their daily sustenance. But that also relates to a lot of other African and Arab countries. So we've got a lot of nations where the population is living on the breadline, literally. And what's going on right now in Ukraine is causing them two problems. Firstly, there are shortages. So some countries just don't have access to enough wheat. And secondly, there are price increases. And one of the problems we've got is that in a lot of poor and developing nations, a lot of their household income is spent on food. In the Western world, around 10% of the household budget goes on food. In poorer nations of Africa, it's anything between 50 and 90%. So most of their budget is being spent on basic items such as bread and flour. And so a small increase in prices will have a disproportionate impact on those poorer nations. Now, this chart shows the countries with the highest reliance upon wheat imports directly from Russia and Ukraine in 2020. And you can see the massive dependence that a lot of these countries have. The majority of these countries are in Africa, but you can see that Somalia and Benin have a 100% dependence. But even as we move down this chart through Laos, Egypt, Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, Senegal, and Tanzania, there are huge dependencies. And the problem that we've got is that although there may be alternative supplies available from other countries, the logistics of putting those supplies in place are really difficult because you need to change your supply chain, you need to change your suppliers, you need to make sure that the shipping is available and can come in and out. And then, of course, there is the cost implications. So the problem that a lot of these countries on this list here have is that they have a very high dependence in terms of the food that their population are eating is highly dependent on wheat for the production of bread. So although you may be sitting there thinking it's fine, they can just buy from elsewhere, in the short term, there is a very real risk that these countries will have complete shortages and therefore the people won't be able to find anything to eat. Corn is the third most consumed basic food product in the world. It's gluten-free, so therefore it's difficult to make rising bread with corn. However, it's used in a variety of bread products such as tortillas, cornbread, and polenta. It's also boiled and eaten directly, and it's used as an ingredient in a variety of cereal-based products. The global supply of corn is also being directly affected by this war. This table shows the top 15 exporting countries for corn in 2020. And you can see that Ukraine is the fourth largest exporter globally and shipped around $5 billion worth of corn. Corn is less important in terms of Russia's exports and only accounted for around 1% of the global market. So the global reliance on corn is less than it is for wheat. It's around about 14% across the two countries. But the problem that we've got is that the global economy is very finely balanced. So if you take out 14% of global supply of anything, then it's going to cause problems and it's going to cause logistical issues, particularly in the countries who are importing the most corn directly from those two countries. Now, the biggest buyers of corn from Ukraine are China and the EU. And the problem that that causes in the global markets is that both of those countries have large purchasing power. So if they can't get the corn directly from Ukraine, then they will just go into the market and buy more corn from somewhere else. And the problem that that has is it causes a knock-on impact to the countries who were buying corn from the other suppliers. So countries in Africa and Asia who were previously buying from cheaper suppliers may find that they're being priced out of the market as a direct result of China and the EU having to switch their suppliers. Fertilizer is absolutely critical to the success of farming globally. These days, we all rely upon increased yields, and the best way to improve the yield for your crop is to apply fertilizer, because fertilizer provides nutrients and the crops will then grow bigger and produce a higher yield. Now, before we go on any further, I wanted to go through the three different types of fertilizer, because there's been some comments when I've made videos previously about what is needed to produce fertilizer and what the impact of this war is likely to be. The three main different types of fertilizer that are used globally are nitrogen-based, phosphorus-based, and potassium-based. So if you remember your old chemistry lessons, we've got an N, a P, and a K as the three chemical symbols. Nitrogen-based fertilizers are by far the largest product group that are used all across the world. And they are produced by mixing nitrogen from the air with hydrogen that is taken from natural gas at high temperature and pressure to create ammonia. The ammonia is then used to make nitric acid, which is then mixed to produce nitrate fertilizers such as ammonium nitrate. Ammonia may also be mixed with liquid carbon dioxide to create urea. Both of these products can be mixed further together with water to form urea ammonium nitrate. Phosphorus-based fertilizers are produced from mined ores. Phosphate rock is primarily treated with sulfuric acid to produce phosphoric acid, which is either concentrated or mixed with ammonia to make a range of phosphate fertilizers. Potassium-based fertilizers are also produced from mined ores. There's a variety of chemical processes that can be used to convert the potash rock into plant food, including potassium chloride, sulfate, and nitrate. Globally, over 75% of all fertilizers exported are nitrogen-based. Potassium-based fertilizers represent around 21% of the global market, and phosphate-based fertilizers only about 2%. This table shows the world's largest exporters of fertilizer, and you can see that right at the top of this list is Russia, with around $7 billion worth of fertilizer exported every year. A close second is China, followed by Canada, the USA, Morocco, and Belarus. And Belarus is obviously important here because it's been sanctioned alongside Russia. Belarus allowed Russia to use its territory as part of the invasion of Ukraine and has now been sanctioned by most of the Western world. So the main reasons that Russia and Belarus are such important players in the global fertilizer market is that they have large amounts of natural gas. And natural gas is the basic raw material that's needed to produce the nitrogen-based fertilizers. The World Bank has produced a report specifically looking at the impact of the war in Ukraine on the commodity markets. And this is important because a lot of emerging and developing countries rely upon these commodities. They have to import food and fuel and other basic requirements. The report highlights that the Ukraine war has caused major supply disruptions and led to historically higher prices for a number of commodities. Prices are expected to be significantly higher in 2022 than in 2021 and to remain high in the medium term. The outlook for commodity markets depends heavily on the duration of the war in Ukraine and the severity of disruptions to commodity flows. This table shows the World Bank forecasts for commodity prices for 2022, 2023 and 2024. And the figures provided here are indices. So this is an index. And to explain how that works, an index uses a base number and then compares future prices against that original base price. So if we assume that the price of an item is $1 today, the index for that would be 100. So 100 would equate to the original price of $1. If the price of that product is forecast to rise to $1.50, then the index figure would be 150. So that would represent a 50% increase against the original index figure of 100. And if the price is then forecast to rise to $2, then the index figure would be 200, which represents a 100% increase against the original index figure of 100. So if we start off at looking at the forecast for wheat, the forecast index figure for the whole of 2022 for wheat is 450, and that compares with a figure of 315 from 2021, which represents an increase of 43%. And this is something that you'll be familiar with if you're following the channel. We are seeing big increases in commodity prices of goods that are essential around the world and that are exported and also have a high dependency on Russia and Ukraine. Now, rolling forward, the World Bank are actually forecasting that the price of wheat will come down in 2023 and then will fall again in 2024, which at face value looks like positive news. However, we need to compare the forecast figures with what's happened historically. So if we look at the figure for 2020, the index was 232 at that stage. In 2021, we saw a 36% increase in the price of wheat. And in 2022, the World Bank is forecasting another 43% increase. So when you compare the price in 2022, it is almost double the price we had in 2020. And as we've discussed many times on the channel before, nobody in the developing world can afford a doubling in the price of anything, let alone food substances. A lot of people are living on the breadline. They don't have any spare cash whatsoever. They spend all of their money on food. So a doubling in the price of wheat, which is a very basic essential in a lot of countries, it's used to produce flour, which is used to produce bread and noodles and pasta and couscous. It's just unaffordable. So a doubling in the price in most countries means that you can then buy half the amount of food that you could previously buy because your cash hasn't increased, but the price has doubled. So this really puts the forecasts into perspective. And when you look forward to 2024, an index of 370 represents a 60% increase on the price of wheat in 2020. And this is just not sustainable. And this is one of the reasons why the United Nations is now forecasting that we have got an unprecedented crisis. The situation for corn, or maize as it's called here, is very similar. The World Bank are forecasting that the price of corn will increase 19% in 2022, and then it does come down slightly in 23 and 24. However, when we compare these prices to where the market was in 2020, the current level is around double the price, and the 2024 forecast represents an uplift of around 70%. The impact on the war on the price of barley has been less acute because Russia and Ukraine are less important in global terms. However, we've still seen a significant uplift. The 2022 price represents an uplift of around 70% compared to where we were in 2020. And even though the World Bank is forecasting a slight fall as we move through 2023 and 2024, the 2024 forecast price still represents an increase of more than 50% against the price being paid in 2020. Now, one thing that is very interesting on this table is the price of rice. So you can see that in 2022, the average price of rice was actually lower than it was in 21, which was also lower than it was in 2020. And it's forecast to remain at a similar level for 23 and 24. So if you were taking a big picture holistic view, then the simple solution here looks like everybody should just switch to rice and that would solve the world food problem. But unfortunately, it doesn't really work like that because different cultures have different foodstuffs. Now, rice is really important in China and India, which are the two largest countries in the world by population. But wheat and grain are the dominant food substances that are used in Africa. And as a result of that, Africa is the continent that has the most food insecurity right now. The other interesting point to note from this table is the movement in the price of oil. If you follow the channel, you'll know that oil is a really essential ingredient in a lot of countries, and we've seen a massive increase in the price of all cooking oils. Ukraine is the world's largest producer of sunflower seeds, which are used to produce sunflower oil, and the large movement in the price of sunflower oil and the resultant shortage has meant that demand has increased for all other forms of cooking oil, and that's pushed up the prices. So you can see that across the board in 2022, all forms of cooking oil have risen dramatically against the price from 2021. And for a lot of these oils, the current price is around double what it was in 2020. The World Bank is forecasting that prices will start to come down in 2023 and 2024 as more oil is produced. However, the prices for the next 2 years are still significantly greater than they were in 2020. And once again, this just puts more pressure onto all of the developing countries because they just don't have any spare capacity to pay more for these essential items. Moving on to fertilizer, the most widely used forms of fertilizer are nitrogen-based, which are shown on this table as urea. And you can see that the price of urea-based fertilizer in 2022 has risen by 75% compared to 2021 and is over 3.5 times more expensive than it was in 2020. So this is exactly the same point that we just discussed for food. It is entirely unaffordable for most countries in the developing world to be able to pay even 10 or 20% more for their fertilizer. But when we're talking multiples, 3.5 times more than it was in 2020, that just means that those farmers won't be able to buy any fertilizer. So they'll have to just work the land without any additional nutrients. And that means that the crops will yield less output and therefore they'll have less food to be able to sell and to live on. Along with the other forecasts, the World Bank is assuming that the war in Ukraine will end at some point and we will move back towards a more normalized market. So they're forecasting that the price of fertilizer will fall in 2023 and 2024 as supply increases. However, when you look at the absolute figures, the price in 2023 is still more than 3 times what it was in 2020, and the forecast price for 2024 is still more than 2.5 times. So these are huge increases that are completely unaffordable. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been talking about the implications of the war on the globe. And a lot of it's been focused on finance. We've been looking at interest rates and inflation and what might happen. But the basic commodity of food, not having enough food to be able to eat to survive, is really quite concerning. And the United Nations have called this out and said that this is now the worst situation that the world has ever been in. And this isn't just a hangover from COVID. We went through the numbers earlier. There was a big increase in the amount of people who had food insecurity as a result of COVID, but it's got significantly worse because of the Ukraine war. And this is really because Russia and Ukraine are really important exporters of a variety of different food substances. And because those exports have been disrupted, that's now causing problems in the global food chain, and it's also driven up all prices. And as I've discussed many times, developing world countries can't afford any increase in food prices. And the levels that we've seen over the last few months have really meant that this has become unaffordable. I've mentioned it before on the channel, but what happens when prices go up is that developed countries can afford to absorb those price increases. So they step into the market, they buy up all of the excess stock, They might grumble and complain because nobody wants to pay more for anything, but they can afford to do it. The developing countries just simply don't have any budget left. So we've seen it in places like Sri Lanka. The government ran out of money and it couldn't pay for tankers to start unloading all of their produce. So you have a combination of high prices and absolute shortages. And that's how people get to a situation where they can't get enough food and they hit starvation. And that's potentially when we see civil unrest and a breakdown in society. And we've started to see that in some countries already. So the United Nations have now estimated that there are around 50 million people in 45 different countries who are at risk of famine. And famine means that you just don't have enough food. So it's not a price issue. It's not being able to not afford it. It's actually there is no food around for people to eat. So this is an extreme example of what's happening all around the world as a result of what's going on right now in Eastern Europe. I've said it many times before, but I'm sure most of the people in Africa have never heard of Ukraine. They've got no interest in Ukraine. It had no relevance to their lives before this situation. But what's happening right now is having a massive impact on so many people's lives. And until the war ends, it's likely to go on and it's likely to get worse. So unfortunately, I don't really have any good news to share with you at the end of this video. This is all really bad news, but I think as with anything, it's always good to be informed. It's always good to know what's going on. And it's good to see what the ripple effect is of something very small, like an invasion of an Eastern European country, how that can affect millions and millions of people's lives. So hopefully you found this episode useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you'd like to see more videos like this.